I want to begin today by thanking everyone who helped out last week with all of the events of the weekend, from Nell's memorial service, which you should know 5 minutes ago I was at the back and someone had Nell's memorial service bulletin, which Nell's picture is on the front, and gave a kiss to Nell. She passed away and we miss her. Yeah. So everyone who helped out with that beautiful service, to everyone who helped out with the Daphna event, which I keep hearing wonderful reports from a variety of people, for the love you shared for Jesus and for our community. Thank you. I hated to miss the event. Mike and I were gone to San Antonio. He had a work event there, and we had planned months ago that I was going to be tagging along, and we would celebrate our anniversary with an extra day there. So thank you for your encouragement of my vacation time. That was much needed. And I also want to especially appreciate Lori Friesen and Aaron Beaker, who I think is helping in the nursery today, so several of you tell Aaron about this, for your perseverance behind the scenes that oftentimes nobody else sees, for the ways that you serve the ministries of this church with heart and with grace. I've been reminded this week of a story. I feel led to share it with you today. Several years ago during the pandemic, there was a time when we did not have cleaners for the church for maybe a month or two. And some of the time it would be my week to clean, some of the time it'd be Lori's time to clean, and some of the time Aaron would take time to clean. And some of those times for me, when I was scheduled to clean, Lori and Aaron would find out what day I was coming and come here the day before or the morning of, and clean the bathrooms before I could. And they'd say, oh, well, I was here already. The way that you serve strengthens the congregation. And Lori's looking at Joe like she doesn't even remember this happened. The way you serve strengthens this congregation greatly. So thank you. Well, to begin, I invite us to remember a time when somebody did us wrong. A time when somebody did us wrong. And if you are brave, we can open up this wound today, that sore, and let some light in to heal it further. Some light from the sun. Someone who was supposed to help us ignored us. Do you remember how that felt? Sad, maybe hurt, maybe angry. A person who we thought was a friend wronged us. What does justice look like now? We're thinking about God's justice today. I learned a story this week about the lily and the fish. And they met each other and they became friends, except the fish was more of a frenemy, kind of a friend, but kind of an enemy. And the fish started telling the lily about another pond where the lilies were bigger and more beautiful there. And the fish went on to say, well, if you want, I can nibble at your roots and I can take you there so that you can see these beautiful lilies. And unfortunately, the lily in the fable said yes. And so without roots, the lily withered. Someone we thought was a friend betrays us. A precious loved one is allowed to die. The immigrant is betrayed. The beggar in this passage, with sores all over his body, was brought to a rich man's house, which was filled with extravagant, luxurious food. And the expectation in that day was that the man of wealth would at least give some crumbs or some morsels, some scraps. And he gives nothing. The man with nothing dies. Now, we know this man. We've seen this man on Market Street or near Panera Bread or downtown with his sign asking for some food. Some of us know what it is like to be in those shoes and to not have enough. The heart of this passage is not only about the coexistence of wealth and poverty, of greed and generosity, of gaps between the haves and the have-nots. This passage is also first about God's justice. But there is a very big problem. And to best explain this problem, I'm going to need 5 or 6 volunteers who like candy or have a friend that likes candy to make your way now to the front pew area. Keep coming up while I'm talking. This passage got me thinking about a kind of candy. Yes, I'm serious. If you're looking at your parents for permission, that's a good thing. I need some adults or young adults or youth to come forward as well. 5 or 6 volunteers. I started thinking about this candy they started making in 1962. And as a kid, we called them now or laters. Just all one word, now or later. Really, they're called now or laters. But they get its name because as a candy, thank you so much. This is going to go very well for you. Just stay right there. And Katie, you're welcome to join in too if you don't mind, just in case they need a little bit of thank you. They get its name because they start out as a candy one way, and their consistency changes over time. And yes, you can come on forward. There is plenty to share. I love it. This is great. So just form a line and look out at the congregation. Yep, form a line, look out at the congregation. Okay. The big problem with God's justice is that we misunderstand it. Here is what we've been taught that this passage means about God's justice. If you, now we're going to divide up into 2 groups, and this is going to go well for everybody, so don't worry. So for everybody who wants to receive God's goodness right now, stand over here on this side. And I need at least 2 brave volunteers who want God's goodness later to stand over there. Ezra and Everett, are you all willing to stay over there on that side? This will go well for you, I promise. Okay, good. Now face them, face them. This is how we think God's justice works. Everybody gets 1 piece of candy. There you go. Now everybody turn to Everett and Ezra and smile and wave. Yeah. Oh wait, they didn't get anything, did they? Okay, now fast forward to the end of our lives and you all switch places. Ezra and Everett, you come over here and the rest of you go over to that side. This is how we think God's justice works. Oh, look, you get 2. You get 2, Ezra. And Everett, you get 2. Katie, do you want to participate? I'm so sorry, I neglected you.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. This is how we understand this parable and how God's justice works. If you're willing, volunteers who helped me, there's a part 2 of this. So stay in these front pews, and I'm going to invite you to come back forward in just a little bit, okay? So you can sit in the front pews anywhere. Or, yeah, that front area is great. Big round of applause for our volunteers. I believe we are misunderstanding this parable and misunderstanding God. Some of us here are believing right now that this life is as good as it gets. We just plod through our days, care for our people, punch a bunch of buttons, and we think it doesn't really matter because we think the next life is more of the same. But what if God is doing something far better now and later? Let's talk about later first. One day after Jesus looks at us and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." One day the lion is going to lie down with the lamb. And that means peace is actually coming. There will be no more weeping or crying or pain. Peace is actually coming. That means joy is in our future. So the person who caused you pain, the suffering that you and I and the world experience, that will end. So let's talk about now. And actually, to understand now, we need to understand what Jesus is doing in this parable. So track with me. Here's the setup for the parable, and let's read this together so that we get it more fully. And Neil, if you'll help with that first slide. There we go. Let's read this aloud if you're able. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." I tried to make it really obvious. Who can tell who Jesus is talking to? The Pharisees, yes. This parable is for the Pharisees, and that means because it is a parable that Jesus is giving them a visual, the rich man and the poor man switching places. Jesus is giving them a visual for what Jesus is doing in the present. It is not only something in the future, this is something that Jesus began now. So what Jesus is doing in the present, reversing the status of the greedy and the humble now. Yes, it happens later too. God's justice is growing everywhere, even if we can't yet see it everywhere. So that means that for every one of us who know what it's like to not have enough or not be enough, for every one of us who are feeling poor in spirit or whose wallet is on empty, God's kingdom is ours. You are favored by God. God is bringing justice. This is the Sermon on the Mount. So I want to share a story with you about God bringing justice, which is a contrast to the parable that we heard read so well, about the rich man who does not share. And since it is relief sale week, this story comes from Mennonite Central Committee. This is on their website if you would like to hear the fuller version. September 19, 2025. Rafiq was coming home from her work in Gaza one day when she noticed a family lying in the sand, covered only with a blanket. She was used to seeing people living in tents and makeshift dwellings since the Israeli military's invasion of Gaza in 2023. But this family seemed especially vulnerable. When she stopped to speak with them, she learned that months before, and you know what, kids, if you want to go back and play for a little bit, you're welcome to do that. No pressure to do so, but you're welcome to. Because I know you're still listening to the story. It's good. She was used to seeing people living in tents and makeshift dwellings since the Israeli military occupation in 2023, but they seemed especially vulnerable. And when she stopped to speak with them, she learned that months before, the mother, the father, and the two children were riding in a donkey cart when it was struck by a missile. The father's legs both had to be amputated, and the mother was traumatized. Only their daughter survived. Rafiq is director and founder of an MCC partner organization, and she gave them some money that day, and she promised to return. And Neil, if you'll help me go to the next, there we go. This is what Rafiq looks like. She gave them some money that day. She promised to come back. The next day, she and her staff brought mattresses and blankets and food, and they set up a tent for the family. She continues to care, especially for the mother. We talk with her, try to comfort her, and see how we can help. And if she needs anything, we're here to listen. We also give her emotional support, reminding her that God has better things in store for her. To Rafiq, this is what being a peacemaker looks like in Gaza during relentless bombardment and blockades of urgently needed food and supplies by Israel. Despite living through the war herself, she persists in doing all she can to relieve the suffering among the people around her. That's the Sermon on the Mount again. An MCC worker describes Rafiq saying, she elevated herself from fear and selfishness, turning to serve her neighbors, suffering from immense violence. As Israel prepared to seize the city, there were many attacks, not just day after day, hour after hour, but every 10 minutes, she says. It's 24/7. What can we do? And what she does is carry on. That's what she and her staff have decided to do. And get this next part. This is why we go to the relief sale and work the midnight shift or run the barrel train, all the things that are needed. Since the invasion began in October 2023, she and her team have distributed some form of humanitarian assistance, food baskets, bedding, shelter material, clothing, and cooking gas cylinders to more than 73,000 people. Rafiq was born and raised in Gaza. Her compassion and outreach to others, especially women, grew out of her experience of getting divorced as a young woman. Although cultural stigma called for her to stay at home in shame, her father encouraged her to find work. So using her diploma in business administration, she worked throughout the 1990s and into the next decade for organizations that focused on empowering women. In 2007, she started an organization providing job opportunities for income generation projects for women, including making food and sewing. With MCC's support, she provided rabbits and information on rabbit rearing so that women could raise and sell them for profit. As a result of the training and the projects, she says, women become more independent, which helped them to feel better mentally and to become more active, to go out in public more and to support their families. She acknowledges her work is exhausting. I get tired of the situation and it can be devastating, she says. During the week after her early September interview with Mennonite Central Committee, her house in Gaza City was bombed, forcing her to relocate. It wasn't the first time she had been displaced. Earlier in the war, her house and those of her six brothers were destroyed. Her sister, her sister-in-law, and nephew, as well as 25 to 30 relatives in her extended family, have been killed. Here's a photo of Rafiq. Like all people in Gaza, she's got limited access to electricity, and so you can see she's heating water in September. She says, even when the reality is very hard, I push through my own pain to give people a spark of hope through emotional support, she says. Of course, there are moments of weakness, but I have to stay strong for my people because they look to me for hope and positivity. But honestly, sometimes I too need someone to give me that hope and strength. She says she finds that strength through her dependence on God and faith that one day the suffering will end. She is happiest and most at peace when she accompanies her staff to give out supplies, like a recent distribution of children's clothing and shoes. She says, of course I feel inner peace because I see the happiness on the children's faces. I was happy because they are happy. I felt extremely content seeing them running around, wearing new clothes and enjoying them. That filled me with so much joy. I discovered this week that these candies are not called now or laters. It's not just we were saying it wrong, all squished together, now or laters. They're not even now or laters. They're now and laters. So let's add a visual to what Jesus is doing in the present, bringing justice now. God's justice to us is grace, and God's grace is abundant. So every volunteer, you can come right back up here and form one line together, your one group together this time, and hold out your hands, face the congregation. May God help us now to see and receive God's goodness. Amen.